The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Judy from Ipswich, Mass., and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Awesome. This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 310 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today Podcast, and with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, welcome to Tuesday.
Oh, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know.
Yes, it is.
People in podcast land might be interested to know that this is one of the many, many days that you do five podcasts, right?
Yes, it is.
So we're on podcast number three for us today, but this is very, very special, and we can't wait to talk to our guest, who we'll introduce in just a second. But before then, we have some shout-outs, and they are people who ran and posted selfies, which I always like, and they are Stephanie Grace, Suzanne Dush, Cindy AC, and Laura Torok. Yay!
Congratulations.
Yeah!
You know, Michelle...
Yes, Mike.
We let's get an opportunity to talk with a lot of people, and I know that I've been blessed since I've been in the Disney community. I've met some amazing people, and it's an honor to have this one person right now on our show. He recently did something that was just an amazing feat that I know I could never do, and he did it, and I think he had a lot of steam left over. His name is Joseph Kalinske, and what Joe did is he ran from the Walt Disney Family Museum
in San Francisco
mm-hmm. to the right in front of the turnstile in Disneyland, right between Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure. And that was approximately 487 miles, but we'll find out exactly how it went. And he did it for a very good cause. So it is my pleasure, my honor to welcome to the show.
Welcome back to the show,
Joseph Robert Kalinske. Joseph, welcome back and congratulations.
Congratulations, Joe. Well,
thanks. And wow, that was a nice introduction. Thanks, Mike.
So, Joe, how do you feel?
Did you do anything in August?
How do you feel?
How do I feel? It was a very, very interesting experience, and I think I feel a heck of a lot better now that it's over. I'll be honest with you. It was not easy, but it was. How do I say it? I came out a lot better than I thought I was going to come out of it. I figured I would be hobbling around for a month. Fortunately, not the case. So I feel a lot better than I thought I would at this point.
So Joe, why don't you, if you could do this, why don't you take us through sort of the overall, we know you had a plan of running a certain number of miles per day. Why don't you take us through how that went, kind of generally beginning, middle, and end? Like, were you kind of fresh at the beginning? Were you sticking to your mileage? What happened?
You know how you have the best laid plans of mice and men? Well, you can plan out all you'd like, and the number one thing I've learned during this experience is, as a runner for any distance, I mean, anyone out there that's going to run from a mile to a marathon, their first ultra, whatever, during the run, you just have to accept what the run gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I had to do on a daily basis. It started out pretty well, but the moment you get to areas where you start having to take detours, just like I was afraid of, the more you can have it in your head that you know stuff is going to come up that you'll have to make adjustments on the fly for, but you don't quite know how often you're going to have to do it, how you're going to feel during that point in time, and what that's going to cost you in additional mileage or sometimes not. Sometimes you get a shortcut. I wish I had those, but but bottom line is that you had to be flexible a bit, and I knew that going in, but even knowing that didn't make it easy. I still got frustrated, definitely, in different spots.
Gil, what was the total mileage?
About 455, I believe, was the last count. Was the right count, I think. 455.
I want to say that you – I thought you said it was going to be like 411, no?
Yeah, that's the thing. The straightest point would have been about 410 to 412 okay. miles, okay. and then the most scenic route would have been about 486. Based on how I was feeling and detours that you have to take, like I was saying, some of those detours actually cut off distance, and some of them actually added on a little bit. But net, I came out somewhere around 450, 455.
Wow. So what was your average per day? Or what would, at the end of the day, you felt happy if you hit how many miles?
I felt happy if I can still walk at the end of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was one of those things. There were days, one or two days, I only did about 17 miles. And I know I say only, and it sounds, you know, that's a decent amount of mileage, I think, for anyone who's doing training out there. But my goal was to do somewhere around 26 to 28 a day. So what happens is when you have to call it a day at 17 miles, that means somewhere along the somewhere between that day and the end of the run, you had to put in additional mileage that you weren't budgeting for to make up for lost time.
Oh, right.
So that's kind of what I was doing. So because I had a couple of short days, my shortest day was about 17 miles, but my longest day was about 36 or 37.
Wow.
So, and that was something I wasn't ready for, I'll be honest with you. All the, you know, I'd said this on the prior time that you guys were nice enough to have me on, that I had a good coach, you know, and he put together a great training plan, and he obviously did well by me because I can walk at the end of it, and that's kind of what the goal was, right?
Yeah.
But you don't prepare yourself for something like that. So, you know, a bit of walking was necessary, that's for sure.
Can you talk to what it would be like, what your average day was? We'd like to know, I'm sure the audience would like to know, what time you got up, how did you run, were you doing run, walk, run, when you ate, when you got to sleep, you know, other things like that. Could you give us a typical day?
Yeah, absolutely. Get up somewhere between 5 and 5:30, and most of the hotels that I stayed in had breakfast, like that free breakfast buffet kind of thing. God knows I love a good Belgian waffle. I don't know about you guys, but I love
after running 36 miles, I'd like about 10.
you know what's really crazy, though? When you start scheduling your hotels, you're like, I wonder if this hotel has Belgian waffle makers in the lobby. And I was really scheduling my hotels around that. But you get up in the morning around 5, 5:30. You do some stretching, really light, some breakfast. Then you drive out to where you left off, or if you know that where you left off is a, and this happened to me a few times, where the area that I had to leave off at the end of the day was an area that I knew the next morning I couldn't come to because it was too dangerous to run. I'll give you an example, and that's Big Sur.
Mm.
Big Sur going from San Francisco to LA hugs the cliff, and quite frankly, the shoulder of the road in some portions is maybe a foot and a half of width to run on. And that's really dangerous. And quite frankly, I wanted to get this done the right way, but I needed to get it done in one piece as well. So you have to budget for all those things. So you would go out to where your last point was, or since you know you can't run it in cases like that, you fast forward a bit to the next safe place to run, and then you have to make up your mileage. I did that. Fortunately, California has a bunch of awesome state parks. Anyone listening in California, seriously, you have the best parks. They're amazing trail runs. And I was able to run the trails to make up the miles that I had to surrender for safety's sake. So you would go out and you'd go out around 7:30, 8 o'clock and start the run for the day. At that point, my vice president, Robin Ankle Couture, who basically did everything aside from run on this case, would go out and basically drop me off and then drive forward a few miles and check the road in front of me to make sure it's still safe. If not, she'd come back and tell me what the necessary detours would be. So probably an average day for her, I bet you she drove a couple hundred miles a day, just back and forth and back and forth kind of thing. I'd carry a water bottle with me, and that had electrolytes in it. I used Nun, which is really light on your stomach. I don't know about you guys, but I have a problem with like Gatorade and Powerade just simply because they're really syrupy. And I knew that I couldn't afford to get sick to my stomach. So I used this stuff called Nun.
We use it too.
Yeah, I kind of swear by it. But these electrolytes, you know, the electrolyte formula was pretty helpful. And every hour I'd refill my bottle when I meet up with Robin in the car. And then we take a little bit of food as well. So every day before we left, Robin would make small peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on whole wheat bread cut into quarters. So they were easy for me to carry or eat real quick and then keep going. So that's really what it was like. Robin going out a few miles, checking the road for safety, coming back every 45 minutes or so. She'd meet up with me because she knew all the twists and turns that I was going to make. She knew where to find me, come back, make sure I was okay, refill my water bottle, grab a little bit of this peanut butter and jelly stuff, and continue the run until I logged the amount of miles I could for the day. So that's really what it was like. My typical day would end somewhere between 3:30 and 4, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, about 3. I mean, sometimes it ended a little earlier, but I want to say about 3 o'clock sounds about right.
It sounds like you couldn't have done this without Robin.
No. Mm-hmm. No, I honestly had the easy part. All I had to worry about was running. Robin did everything else. So she drove. She literally drove her car from Edmonton to San Francisco to meet up with me.
Wow.
And then drove this entire thing. And then from there, she was also a nutritionist, therapist, you name it. Gopher, guru, you name it.
Huge shout out to Robin. So we have neglected at this point to talk about, we'll get to the ending of it, but we want to talk about why you were doing this, which is the most important thing.
Yeah. The reason I was doing this is August is SMA Awareness Month. And let's face it, if you're ordinarily going to pick to do a run point to point in California, you're probably not going to pick the month of August because it was really hot.
Mm.
Unless you really want to lose a lot of weight quick, that's a good way to do it. But August was a pretty hot month and you know, ordinarily not the most optimal month to do something like this in. But it's also SMA Awareness Month. It was SMA Awareness Month. And SMA is spinal muscular atrophy. It's the number one genetic killer of children under the age of 2 in the world, and you just never really hear about it. It's not a disease that is talked about much or you don't read about it in the papers like you would other major diseases. So what I wanted to do was something unique that would bring awareness and donations to help families with children that have this disease. So we set a goal of raising about $10,000, and I'm very, very happy to report. And the most important thing is to report that we exceeded our goal. We raised over $11,000 to help families with SMA. So, and part of that, guys, is I want to say thank you for having me on the podcast before I started. It helped get the word out, which is exactly what I needed to do. It was, the awareness part is really important because the more people that talk about it, the more action that's taken. So, It's something that flies under the radar normally, and I want to do something to sort of shed a light on it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, there are so many causes out there. Sometimes the ones that aren't known as well as the others get lost in the crowd, like you said, Joe, under the radar, and it's important to bring them to the surface and into the spotlight because something, you know, there's something out there that affects everyone, and, you know, not everyone, but I mean there are all kinds of causes out there, and everyone deserves, you know, a time and a place to be talked about and support. So,
exactly, you know, and for me, it's a personal thing because my two brothers died of this disease. So, mm-hmm. because of that, this is something that I feel passionate about and why I wanted to do something like this. And quite frankly, that personal aspect of it helped me through some rough spots, as you can imagine. You'd probably go through during
this. Was actually my next question. I can see that, you know, I know that in the past I've really channeled people who are important to me to help me through certain runs. Did you ever wake up in the morning and thought, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this today? And did you use your family and the cause to kind of pull you through?
Yeah, it was, I don't even know how to describe this. It was, you know what, I'll put this in a way that listeners can really use. If you're, you know, you're going to run a half marathon, or you're going to run your first marathon, your first half, your first 10K, whatever your next running goal is, you may find the distance to be a challenge, right? For me, yeah, this distance was a challenge, definitely. But what you can do is channel the reasons why you're actually doing what you do. Some people, when they run, they just forget about everything. They go into a bubble and they just, you know, forget about everything that's going on in their lives. Others kind of need that motivation. I'm one of those, right? I'm one of those that need motivation to keep going, or else I lose my focus pretty quick. So yeah, basically, there are, you know, running for, you know, the memory of my brothers, running for my mom, you know, running for my friends and family, and quite frankly, at one point, I got really lucky, and in Ventura, California, as I was about two-thirds of the way, about two-thirds of the way through, I got lucky to meet some parents in Ventura, California, and their kids that have SMA.
Oh my gosh.
So it was kind of cool, and I was able to bring some of my medals that I had earned in a couple of half marathons and stuff, knowing that I was going to meet up with them. I brought them some medals, and I brought them some shirts and stuff like that. And it personalizes the effort. And I think that's kind of the takeaway on this, right? If you're running your first half, figure there will be a point where you want to quit. You're running your first marathon, I can guarantee you there will be more than one time where you want to quit. And bottom line is that, you know, that's going to happen. You just have to basically dig and look for the reasons why you're doing what you're doing. Never lose sight of the fact of why you do what you do, and that'll get you through the humps. And that's what happened with me.
And that's wonderful. And Joe, I know you're really close with your daughter. I can't imagine how proud she is of you for doing this.
Well, it was good because she came in, and she flew in on August 28th. So she was there to basically crew me for the last 7 days or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was 6 or 7 days. And that was a lot of fun because she did see me kind of a little miserable at a few points. Mm-hmm. And I told her that was going to happen, and she wasn't surprised. And she had a choice. And I told her, I said, you know, you can help me by not getting upset about it, by basically kicking me in the rear end and telling me to get back out there. And that's kind of what I needed at some point. So she came just in time as well.
Oh, lovely. So you had a welcoming party. The end of your trip was kind of the beginning of your celebratory Disneyland half marathon. But you had some people there to meet you?
Yeah, I had my family, my board members from my charity came out. And it was pretty funny. A few of the, I guess, attendants at Disney came out, which was pretty cool.
Where were you? Where did they meet you, Jim?
They met me basically at the compass between Disneyland and California Adventure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they met me in the center of that courtyard area, which was really cool. And it was just nice because it wasn't huge. I wasn't looking for huge or anything like that for a finish. You know, at that point, I was so tired that the number one thing I was looking forward to was a long shower and food, mm-hmm. real food, something other than peanut butter and jelly. So that's really what I was looking for. But it was a nice little finish line that they made up for me. It was wonderful.
Oh, that's great. So, Joe, did you enjoy your? Then you did the half marathon. How many days later?
Well, I did the 5K with my daughter, which was a lot of fun because you bring out the iPhones and you take a bunch of pictures and don't worry about the time and you're never going to get swept. So fortunately, you don't get swept during a 5K or else that would have been – I would have been cutting it close. That's how bad I was feeling. I went and I did the half with my coach actually and another one of my board members, Mitch Brannon.
Oh, Mitch,
they went at my pace, which was nice. I was holding them up a bit and I knew it, but they didn't mind. They were very, very patient with me. So it was nice finishing it with them, that's for sure. It was kind of put the icing on the cake for me.
Oh, that's great. Do you think you, did you ever get sick of running? did you feel like, okay, enough, I need a running vacation?
I've just taken a running vacation. The moment I came home, I haven't run a mile since. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I'm going to start again tomorrow, but I figured I needed a solid week to just...
A week?
Decompress. Well, yeah.
Because make me feel like a wimp. I took like 3 months off after Boston.
it's not that. It's just, you know, it's everybody needs to sort of take in and reevaluate after you accomplish your goal. Like anyone out there that's listening, again, I'll just put in, you know, pretty really simple. If you run your first half marathon and you don't have a major goal set afterwards, then what happens is you could lose momentum, and that's what I'm doing now. I lost a little bit of momentum. I feel healthy. I'm not hurting or anything like that because really everybody around me took good care of me. So I finished a lot stronger than I thought I was going to. But yeah, I kind of – it's like I give you an example. When I was like 5 years old, my mother used to tell me that there was a period of time that went by that the only thing that I would eat is peanut butter and jelly, period, on white bread. I refused to eat anything else. Uh-huh. But and she literally took me to the doctor and said, you know, hey, doc, this is the only thing I'll eat. Well, the doc said, just feed him that. So I ate peanut butter and jelly until I absolutely one day got up and go, I can't eat peanut butter and jelly again. I can't do it. Right. I got sick of it. I just tired of it. So that's what I did. I think I ran so much that I'm like, I just don't want to run right now. So I've got to slowly get back into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would you do it again?
Would I do it again? Good question. Knowing what I know now, I think something like this, maybe I would do something a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Shorter distance maybe, or like a relay or something like that. That there's a lot of things I would do differently, and there are a lot of things I learned from this. But something like this takes a lot of time to plan it and prepare for. Like for me, I started preparing for this more than a year and a half ago. So I put a lot of work into this, and I don't know if I'll do that again in the near future. You know, maybe it is something that I'll set a longer term goal for, but it's not something that you sign up and do a month later. You know, it's something that takes a lot of planning, a lot of logistics go into it, and a lot of training over time. It's not something you can, it's not like something you can cram for a test with. Right. So, it's something that I would do something else maybe,
mm-hmm.
I think. But it was a wonderful experience, and it was kind of unique. And maybe I just want to keep it as a unique experience.
Well, in my book, you're a superstar, and you have a lot of heart, and I feel very honored to call you my friend. I think it's amazing. With the sacrifice of you and Robin, too, and your daughter.
She had to put up with me the whole time. Oh, my God. And that's the other thing. Like, I had to – and this is kind of an instance of do as I say, not as I do. Ordinarily, I don't like running with headphones. Can't stand it. I ran with headphones every day because you're out there for so long. My own thought, I would drive myself crazy. I mean, seriously, my thoughts sometimes would be like, it would be like me talking to myself all day. I needed something to distract myself.
Right.
So yeah, that's another thing to take into consideration. Would I do it again? I don't know. That means I have to be by myself for that prolonged period of time. I drive myself nuts sometimes, so I don't know.
We heard that there are news reports that there was not a large supply anymore in California of peanut butter, so now it all makes sense.
Yeah, there. Yeah, yeah. The price of peanut butter did go up slightly. Sorry.
Joe, a few more things. Number one, sure. I want to give a shout out to Mitch. Actually, Michelle and I ran with him. I don't know which Disneyland half marathon it was, but
it was probably 2 years ago.
2 years ago, we ran with him, and I know I ran with him at one of the Wine and Dine half marathons. I don't know which one it was. Might have been last year, the year before. They're all kind of. So I want to give a shout out to Mitch. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Okay, so before we let you go, I know that there are some listeners out there who are saying, Mike, will you please ask Joe one of these, or maybe both of these questions. So here's the first one. Number one, how many pairs of shoes did you wear on this trek?
I rotated 3 pairs of shoes simply because I get plantar fasciitis.
Oh, my God.
Plantar fasciitis. Yep. Help me, guys. I'm not sure if I'm even saying this correctly.
I think it's the second
one.
We
know what it is.
That's you know what I'm saying. Everybody just calls it PF because the second word is kind of hard to say. But anyway, I'm susceptible to that. And I know that I got it once severely because I stayed in my shoes too long. Wow. So I rotated 3 sets of shoes. And there are some days where I learned that I didn't have the right pair of shoes. So again, just another little note out there, change up your running. If you want to experience something new, definitely try a trail or two once or twice because the things you'll see on there are great, but you have the right shoes for them. I didn't have the right shoes for trails, and those really – I paid a price for those. But I did rotate 3 pairs of shoes just to be safe.
Okay. And my final question is, how much weight did you lose?
I lost about 21 pounds.
Oh, my God!
In about a week and a half?
About 18 days.
Wow, 21
pounds. Yeah, but that's another thing that you have to really worry about. You don't want to lose too much weight because of the fact that that's water weight, really, that's coming off. Those hot days with really no shade, and it was about 90 degrees, you sweat an awful lot, and you can't put as much water that you need, as much water as you're losing, you can't put it back at the same pace. So I know I was losing water weight more than anything. And by running, you're breaking down muscle. So you're losing a little bit of muscle weight as well.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that kind of was taken into consideration. I'd weigh myself daily and, you know, I saw myself go down gradually and I wasn't too worried about it, but I did keep an eye on it.
Before we let you go, we want to mention your site. It's called Dawes, Do Away With SMA, and it's www.doawaywithsma.org. And if people want to find out what you're all about and want to get involved, they should go to that site. And
absolutely,
we want. Go ahead, Joe.
And I'm just, you know, that's my charity. I'm really thrilled with the way it's going, and that's what I ran for. And I guess what's really cool is, you know, with Mickey Milers running for Give Kids the World, right? You if you're going to run and you have the ability to run for a charity, it doesn't have to be Do Away With SMA. It can be any charity. But you can put your miles to work in a really, really good cause. You know, choose your cause, think about what you want to run for, and then run for it. And it just – every little effort that you can make out there can make a difference in somebody else's life, so –
Well, Joe, congratulations on just an amazing, amazing, amazing feat. And for those who are in the SMA family, I'm sure they're all very grateful. And we want to also tell you how grateful we are for you to come on our show and tell us the story. And we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you having me on like this.
So for Joe Kalinske, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, and this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.